What if you could email a vaccine to Mars? Not the physical vial, but the instructions to build it, transmitted as light, received in minutes, and synthesized on arrival. This isn't science fiction. It's the logical endpoint of a revolution that began in a Dublin lecture hall during World War II, when physicist Erwin Schrödinger asked a deceptively simple question: what is life? His answer, that living organisms are governed by a code script determining their development, inspired James Watson and Francis Crick to discover DNA's double helix. But it took decades more, and one particularly audacious scientist, to realize Schrödinger's full vision. In 2012, J. Craig Venter returned to that same Trinity College auditorium to announce something extraordinary. His team had created the first cell controlled entirely by computer-designed DNA. Life had become software, and just like software, it could now be written, debugged, and transmitted at the speed of light. Long before laboratories and gene sequencers, humans dreamed of creating life. Medieval alchemists attempted to brew tiny humans, homunculi, in flasks. Mary Shelley imagined Dr. Frankenstein animating dead flesh with electricity. These weren't just fantasies. They reflected a deeper hunger to understand what separates the living from the dead, the animate from the inert. For centuries, a concept called vitalism dominated thinking, the belief that living things possessed some mysterious spark, an elan vital, that chemistry alone couldn't explain. But cracks in this worldview began appearing in 1828, when Friedrich Wöhler synthesized urea, a compound found in urine, from entirely inorganic materials. His mentor, Berzelius, joked that Wöhler had begun his immortality in urine. But the deeper message was clear. Perhaps life's building blocks weren't so special after all. By the 1950s, scientists like John von Neumann were imagining self-replicating machines with coded instructions, mechanical parallels to biological reproduction. The stage was set for a radical reimagining. What if life wasn't magic, but information? The revelation came in stages. Oswald Avery discovered DNA carries genetic information, 1944. Watson and Crick revealed the double helix, 1953, explaining how genes copy during cell division. Marshall Nirenberg cracked the code in the 1960s. DNA's bases form three-letter codons, each specifying an amino acid, genetic triplets that make proteins. The 1970s brought gene splicing. Herbert Boyer and Stanley Cohen cut DNA from one organism and pasted it into another, leading to Genentech and bacteria-produced human insulin, 1982. Cells became programmable factories. Every cell is a molecular machine factory. ATP synthase spins like a turbine generating energy. Myosin proteins flex like microscopic muscles. Kinesin walks on protein feet, carrying cargo along cellular highways. These machines are encoded in DNA. The sequence determines how each protein folds into its precise shape. Wrong shape, disease. In cystic fibrosis, one mutation prevents proper folding, causing deadly mucus buildup. DNA is the blueprint. Proteins are the workers, and the system self-assembles from chemistry and information. In the 1960s, DNA sequencing crawled at base pairs per month. Fred Sanger's didoxy method used terminator molecules to stop DNA copying at specific points, creating readable fragments, but required radioactive materials and X-ray film. The breakthrough came when Leroy Hood's team replaced radioactivity with fluorescent dyes that computers could read automatically, making sequencing scalable. Venter exploited this with expressed sequence tags, rapidly sequencing thousands of human genes, scandalizing traditionalists. In 1995, Venter's team sequenced Haemophilus influenzae, a bacterium with 1.8 million base pairs. They shattered the genome into random fragments, sequenced them all, then used algorithms to reassemble the puzzle, like dumping a jigsaw on the floor and having software reconstruct it. The standing ovation reflected the magnitude. Humans had read, for the first time, the complete genetic code of a living organism. Scientists could finally read life's instruction manual. The next step? Learning to write it. Creating synthetic life meant building functional DNA from scratch. Venter's team chose PhyX-174, a simple virus. In 1967, Arthur Kornberg had recreated this virus by copying DNA. Venter aimed higher, design DNA on a computer, synthesize it chemically, and create functional life. After initial failures and returning with better tools post-genome sequencing, they succeeded in 2 weeks, creating a virus that killed bacteria as predicted. But viruses need host cells. The real goal was a synthetic cell that could live and reproduce independently. They targeted Mycoplasma genitalium, with its minimal 582,970 base pair genome, dividing it into 101 cassettes and embedding watermark sequences spelling Venter Institute in amino acid code, essentially signing their creation. They assembled the complete genome in yeast cells, creating the largest defined chemical molecule ever synthesized. Yet when transplanted into recipient cells, nothing happened. The genome was dead on arrival. The breakthrough nearly failed over a single missing letter in their 582,970-letter genome sequence. This one base pair deletion disrupted an essential gene for DNA replication, making cell division impossible, like a typo that crashes an entire program. After fixing it, they faced slow growth. Their radical solution? Synthesize an entirely different organism's genome instead, one twice as large. They designed 1,078 DNA cassettes for Mycoplasma mycotes, each overlapping like Lego bricks, and embedded 4 watermarks, including quotes from James Joyce, Richard Feynman, and Robert Oppenheimer. When Dan Gibson initiated transplantation on Friday, embedding their million-letter synthetic genome in gel and transferring it to recipient cells, success was uncertain. Monday morning revealed a single bright blue colony. After exhaustive validation, they confirmed it. The cell contained only their synthetic genome with all watermarks intact. They had created the first organism controlled entirely by computer-designed DNA. Critics argued this wasn't true synthetic life, since they'd used a natural recipient cell. But the achievement was undeniable. They had written new software for life and proven it worked. Imagine a flu pandemic emerging in Asia. Within hours, scientists sequence the virus and design a vaccine. Instead of manufacturing and shipping millions of doses, they emailed the DNA sequence to hospitals worldwide. Automated synthesizers receive the code and produce the vaccine locally within days. This isn't speculation. Venter's team has developed digital to biological converters that receive DNA sequences as electromagnetic signals and synthesize physical molecules automatically. Life has become information, and information travels at light speed. The implications cascade outward. Mars colonists could receive vaccines transmitted from Earth in minutes. Rovers could sequence alien microbes and beam genetic codes home for recreation. Custom bacteriophages could combat antibiotic-resistant superbugs as molecular smart bombs, targeting only pathogens while sparing beneficial bacteria. Synthetic biology is democratizing. The iGEM competition challenges students to build biological systems using standardized DNA components called biobricks, creating bacteria that detect toxins or produce vitamins. What took nature billions of years now takes undergraduates a summer. We're designing minimal genomes, extending the genetic code beyond nature's 20 amino acids, and testing genetic designs in virtual cells before physical construction. In 70 years, we've progressed from not knowing our genetic material to creating new life through synthetic genomes. When Venter's team unveiled their synthetic organism, responses ranged from celebration, creaking open the most profound door in human history, to concern about untended consequences. President Obama's Bioethics Commission recommended pragmatic safeguards. Suicide genes that kill organisms outside laboratories, dietary requirements that prevent survival in nature, kill switches activated by specific signals. Some see hubris in rewriting life's code, but we already modify nature constantly through agriculture, medicine, and industry. Synthetic biology simply makes those modifications more precise. The greater danger isn't technology abuse, but abandoning technology that could save lives. vaccines transmitted at light speed, bacteria engineered to clean pollution, cells designed to produce food or medicine. We've crossed a threshold. We're no longer just readers of life's code, we're writers. And the story we write next will determine not just our future, but the future of life itself.